Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyar. Last summer, we gave a little bit of a heads up on a new dinosaur discovery, and it was from Montana, a Triceratops. And we had one of the discoverers on the show, and now that it's been published in a major peer-reviewed paper, a secular science journal, we have back with us Mark Armitage. Mark, welcome back to Real Science Radio.
Thank you, Bob. I'm trying to catch a cold, so I'll try not to cough in the ears of your listeners today.
All right. Well, thank you. Mark, your paper, congratulations. Acta Histochemica, that's one of the more prestigious science journals, and what a great paper. I've read it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. It is a prestigious journal. It's published by the Elsevier Group from the Netherlands, I believe, and they've been actually publishing scientific papers since about the late 1600s, 1700s. So they published The Lancet, they published Sal, many of the big journals are published by this group. So.
And you and Kevin Anderson are co-authors on this paper on soft tissue from a Triceratops.
That's correct. It's a world first, actually. We are the first ones to ever discover soft bone tissue. It's called osteotissue in a Triceratops horn. We traveled about a year and a half ago up to the Badlands of Montana, a very famous dinosaur fossil dig called the Hell Creek Formation. This is where Mary Schweitzer, Jack Horner, and many other famous paleontologists have recovered significant dinosaur finds with the soft tissues in them. But we found a very large Triceratops horn. I think it was over 40 inches, 42 inches long, about 9 to 10 inches wide, buried about 3 feet below the surface up there in the Badlands. And we were dismayed when we first found it because it was fractured, it was loaded with plant root, it was filled with matrix. They call it matrix, which is a surrounding material that was wet, so it was kind of muddy, and we thought, we're not going to find anything in this
right.
in this fossil. So,
right.
But we brought it back to the lab. The CRS has a state-of-the-art microscopy laboratory in Chino Valley, Arizona. And we brought it back to the lab and fractured it open, and I started working, and I found these sheets of soft bone tissue. It was stunning because, in fact, I thought they were biofilms at first, which is sort of the leftovers of fungi and algae and bacteria that go in there and consume all this organic material.
If you recall, last summer, 2012, you were here in studio, Real Science Radio, and you brought a piece of the Triceratops horn, and you were showing us. I think we even mentioned it on the air in that little preview we did that heads up, that here are these sheets coming off of this horn. It's supposed to be a stone fossilized from, how old would the evolutionist estimate the strata that this was found in would be?
Well, they contend that these strata, these fossil areas, and these fossils are 65 to 68 million years old. And so that's why the world has been shocked by these continuous findings now of soft dinosaur tissue.
Right, because that was obviously not a stone. As you're peeling off layers of this, what looks like a biological material, it's still a bone.
It's still a bone, but we have soft tissue inside of our bones. There are cells called osteocytes. There are several different types of them. There are osteoblasts, osteoclasts, osteocytes. These are living tissues, living cells inside of our bone that are constantly measuring stress and fractures as we walk and run and do things, and they're actually deconstructing bone and replacing it continuously throughout our life cycle. So,
well, and that's why if people have a certain kind of a job at work where they're maybe not in a good posture, gradually it affects their skeleton.
Yeah, anything you do affects your skeleton because it's living tissue. And I believe the figure is every 12 years, I think your entire skeleton is completely replaced. So it's living tissue. It's amazing. And osteocytes are a dead ringer. I mean, you cannot confuse an osteocyte with any other cell.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's just so distinctive. So when I pulled these sheets out of this bone, I thought, well, this is just biofilm. And I started thin sectioning it, and it was loaded with osteocytes. And so not only a world first to find these soft tissues in a triceratops horn, but a world first to find these sheets, these thick sheets. And if you recall, when you were at the International Conference on Creationism a few weeks ago,
in Pittsburgh,
I showed 3D video as we focus through this sheet, showing all the different osteocytes in different planes of focus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a world first.
Could you explain to the audience, Mark, you are a microscopist. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. I'm a microscopist. I'm a microscope scientist, so I know a lot about all the different kinds of microscopes.
I have seen
Carl Zeiss and Olympus and many of the big companies.
I've seen your photos published in various scientific journals. In fact, one of the folks who was at the conference in Pittsburgh, and what a great ICC it was.
It was great.
International Conference on Creationism. You had the very last session on the last day of the conference. And
yes.
Mark, when I saw that, I was discouraged because I thought, you know, half of the people are going to be on planes on their way home by then. Your session was packed. It was the dinosaur soft tissue stuff was a highlight of the conference. And
nobody went home. No, nobody went home. It was a packed session, standing room only, and it was very well received. And it's very exciting. I mean, this Creation Research Society, we're probably the oldest creation group really in the world. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. And we started an initiative a couple years ago called iDino, little iDino, Investigation of Dinosaur Intact Natural Osteotissue. And so our goal was to go out and find bones that were good candidates for soft tissue and to perform standard histology on all the specimens and to document any soft tissue. And our first jump out of the gate, the Lord let us hit a home run with this world-first discovery. So, and I'll tell you, Bob, I really, after working with this bone and reading the literature and studying the different sites where these things are found, I really believe that this is the norm in the fossil record rather than the exception.
Yes. Mark, so the evolutionary worldview that led thousands of scientists to say, well, of course we would never look for soft tissue because these things are 68 million, 100 million, 150 million, even now 350 million-year-old crinoids. They say they found original biological material in them. And so we have lost pretty much since Charles Darwin, but especially for 100 years of the super powerful microscopes we've had, we have lost a century's worth of decay of valuable scientific data from these fossils, dinosaurs and others, simply because of the evolutionary paradigm that, well, they're too old. They wouldn't have soft tissue. And we've been fighting for years to show that overwhelmingly we now know it's been confirmed there's dinosaur soft tissue from many different kinds of dinosaurs that have been discovered.
That's correct. Many different kinds of dinosaurs, many different fossil sites. And so our goal with iDino is to literally become a research factory and to document as many dinosaur bones as possible with soft tissue in them and just to keep pumping this information out. Because here's the thing, Bob. I mean, all kinds of people are arguing every day all around the country about evolution and how did it happen and, you know, how could chance and mutation and natural selection account for all the diversity, the beauty that we see in the biota. And here's the thing. It has turned so many people away from God and the Bible because science, quote unquote, has disproven the Bible. Well, here's the thing. If the earth is young, if all the dinosaur bones have soft tissue in them, suddenly Genesis becomes believable. Garden of Eden becomes believable. The young age of the earth becomes believable. And we can turn people away from this vampire of evolution that just sucks the life out of people. And if you put a stake in the heart of evolution, if you put a stake into deep time, you've killed that vampire. And that's our goal. Our goal is to go after the deep time issue because without time, evolutionists can't get descent with modification. Without time, they don't have a prayer. In fact, without time, they need to pray, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So that's our goal, is to use this hard science to go out there and show the Earth is young.
And then, Mark, also presenting on dinosaur soft tissue was a scientist with ICR, Brian Thomas.
Yes.
And he did a tremendous overview.
He did a fabulous summary.
Yeah, he did. A summary of all the discoveries, sort of like we have online at Real Science Radio with our dinosaursofttissue.com. One of the things he did was he put up a slide and he showed all the many physical factors that decompose biological tissue.
Correct, and there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. And then Dr. Jerry Bergman in the Q&A session, he stood up and he said, Brian, you could add radioactivity, because radioactivity severely degrades, just the radioactivity in the crust of the Earth degrades biological tissue like DNA. They're saying that this stuff was in the ground for, you know, 60 million years.
In my mind, it's nothing short of miraculous that these tissues have been preserved. And I really believe God has given us a window here. His fingers have got to be in this. His hands have got to be in this miraculous preservation. This stuff shouldn't be there. I mean, well, as a biologist and a microscopist, when I'm working with tissues, we have to preserve it quickly. And often we have to preserve it on ice because we get this sudden degradation. You get autolysis. These chemicals are released by the cell and it just breaks the cell down completely.
And and then there are factors like minor temperature variation, where these molecules are expanding and contracting ever so slightly with just geothermal heat. And even if they're buried.
In the Badlands of Montana, I mean, there you get freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing. Those winters up there are very harsh.
Yeah, and even though
they call it the Badlands.
Yeah, right. And even though they're buried where the temperature is more stable, it's not perfectly stable.
No, and as I mentioned, the Triceratops horn that we found was loaded. In fact, I found fungal hyphae, fungal strands all throughout it, tiny little rootlets. I'm documenting all this to show that even in the mud, even in the presence of all these microorganisms and the plants and the fungi and everything, you know,
we still have
trying to deconstruct it, these tissues remain. And so what Mary Schweitzer and others have found, and this is the argument that people like P.Z. Myers make, well, they found something soft in a very hard bone, because Mary fractured open a femur, a T-Rex femur, a very hard bone. It's like concrete. And so, yeah, I mean, you would kind of expect maybe something to be in there. But in a vascular Triceratops horn that's full of mud, come on.
And they say, well, it's because of the sediments it was in. Well, what, sandstone? But then they found it in marine sediments, all different kinds.
Yes.
Then they said it's because it's in a big, thick bone. Then they found it in a horn, you did, with Kevin Anderson, and then in feathers, and then in skin.
Yes.
They're finding original biological material. So all their explanations are falling by the wayside. Of course, there were years of denial that this is not, it cannot be dinosaur tissue. It doesn't matter what evidence, it just can't be. And so now they're admitting, even the detractors, for the most part, have conceded that, yeah, we have dinosaur tissue. Apparently, Mary Schweitzer has now documented, published, that they found DNA from a hadrosaur, which is cool, of course. So could I dispute one thing you said? I don't think I've ever disputed anything you've said in my life. But one
really
thing.
Teachable, Bob. Go ahead.
One thing. It's a point Brian Thomas made. He said, you know, at one level, we're shocked that these bones have soft tissue from just thousands of years ago. We are shocked. But on another level, he said, as young Earth creationists, it's somewhat expected because of our work with Egyptian mummies. And we realize with mummies that there are half-lives and decay rates. And if the conditions are reasonable, you're going to have collagen, you're going to have osteocytes, even DNA, although it's going to decompose and we might not be able to sequence it. Maybe we could, little chunks, who knows. It is somewhat expected in a young Earth model because of our work with Egyptian mummies.
That's a good point, and I don't know that I'm capable of arguing yet at this point a counter-argument to it. But all I know as a microscopist and having worked with tissues for 20, 25 years, when you look at 500 nanometer size structures, and if you look at my pictures, you're seeing the little filipodia, the little fingers that come off of these bone cells at 500 nanometers and thinner, that stuff goes away quickly.
Mark, when I saw your photos, and I started to say that there, one guy stood up in a Q&A session and said, there's no one working who produces better photos than Mark Armitage.
Well, thank you, and praise the Lord.
And there was applause in the room, including from me, because, Mark, your photos of the bombardier beetle, we want to do a show on that, in fact. But when I first saw your photos, I just was ecstatic because they're so much better than even Mary Schweitzer's photos at North Carolina State University, and she's the world authority on this issue.
But well, not only that, she works in a $5 million lab with millions of dollars of equipment, and we have bobby pins and toothpicks to work with. So this is why our appeal is for large donors. Look, we've proven through this publication in a secular journal, and it cost me my job. I lost my position as an electron microscope lab manager at a major university here in Southern California. And I can't say much more than that because the attorneys now are circling the wagons. And so, but the thing is, the CRS, we do have electron microscopes. I have a fluorescent microscope, but I need a confocal microscope. And I need a cryostat. And these things are expensive. I can get a good used confocal for about $100,000. Well, we don't have $100,000.
But right.
You know what, Bob? There are people listening to my voice and your voice right now, Christians who have that kind of money and could donate it to the CRS and allow us to duplicate the work. Mary Schweitzer did an elegant series of experiments where she showed in the T-Rex cells, the bone cells from the T-Rex, she showed the actual histones, the packaging proteins that package DNA.
Right.
We can do that work, Bob. We can replicate that experiment in the Triceratops tissue, but we need funding.
You need funding. And Mark, with the years you've put into this field, you not only know how to use these machines, you know how to keep them operating.
Well, I do. And actually, my job at the university was to train not only the graduate students, but the faculty. And in fact, you can go to the California State University Northridge biology website. And if you down in the lower right-hand corner, there's a picture of a microscope. You click on that, and that'll take you to a 12-hour series of videos of me training the faculty and the graduate students in the use of confocal microscopes. So
hey, Mark,
even though they terminated my services, I'm still teaching at the university.
Mark, last night, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Mark, last night, Cheryl and I, with our three youngest boys who are being homeschooled, 11, 13, 15, we were around the kitchen table with a microscope as part of two of the boys, their biology class.
Excellent.
And, you know, and it has the 4X, 10X, 40, and 100. And we figured out the 100X oil immersion. And but you know what? At the end of it, I said, we're really going to have to ask Mark if he could get on the phone with us one night and talk us through some of this.
Because, well, that'd be fabulous. We can Skype, and I'll have a microscope here, and we'll do the whole thing on Skype.
Wow. What an honor, because, hey, guys in the audience, we're talking to one of the world's most proficient microscopists. And the fact that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, he recognizes God's word as the literal, inspired word of God, that Jesus Christ, his authority is greater than Charles Darwin. He said God made us at the beginning of creation, not after millions or billions of years. He made us male and female at the beginning of the creation. And Mark, for your work to corroborate and confirm that these photos you're taking, they're better than Mary Schweitzer's because she was dissolving bone. And you see the cells, and they're amazing, but they're floating in solution. Your cells are in situ. They are in the bone matrix, and they're still attached. I think it's called the filipodia, the canicula, whatever, all those terms, you know.
The caniculi, those are the little holes between cells that they reach through and touch each other. They're all touching each other in three dimensions throughout your bone.
Yeah, they're communicating, and that's part of the bone being alive. So many evolutionists have mocked us here at Real Science Radio, saying, you guys are idiots talking about soft tissue. These are bones. Bones are not soft tissue. They're dead minerals. And these are evolutionists who've gone to college. You know, they have degrees.
Yes.
But they just prefer ignorance to evidence when the evidence challenges their worldview.
Well, somebody asked me, and I think you might remember this during my talk at the ICC, how do we win over these evolutionists? How do we win over these hard-hearted people? If you remember my reply, it was, you know, I think it's time to shake the dust off our feet. I mean, we shouldn't shy away from stepping up and speaking out against these folks. For every person who's stiff-necked and turns his back and turns his heart away from God, there's 10 people who want to know this information.
Who want to know. Wow, that's exciting. Mark, we're about out of time. I would like to link to your Facebook page, because you got a Facebook page all about this iDino project. And what a photo right on the top of that of your Triceratops osteocytes.
Link to the Facebook page. And then I'm working on a blog also that's going to have a lot of photos on it and a lot of information, even videos, hopefully, shot through the microscope and videos of the dig. And we do have a DVD. I have about a 45-minute iDino DVD that was shot at the dig. It shows the laboratory work. It shows the microscopy. Mm. And it shows the reaction to the publication, most notably the reaction from the university.
Well, I've not seen that yet. I'm eager to get that. So we'll link to that. Before the program, Mark, you offered that we could have a photo for our Real Science Radio show summary, which is an honor. And so we will proudly post that and show people what God is enabling us to find as testimony of the global flood and the young earth. These things are not 100 million years old.
Well, thank you, Bob. The honor is really all mine. And I have to give Jesus Christ all the credit for this. He is the one who supplied all the equipment that we have. He obviously led us to this bone in Montana, this Triceratops horn. He's allowed us to hit a home run. Yes, it cost me my job, but you know, this is the fourth time, Bob, that I've been fired by an academic institution for my position on Genesis, and I'm fine. The Lord is taking care of me, and that's the neat thing about knowing that our Creator is also our daddy. He's our daddy, and He wants to take care of us, and I'll tell you, when I let go of my evolution, and I realized that I am a created being, and there's an intelligent designer who made me, it became so much easier for me to give Him my heart.
Mm. Praise God. Mark Armitage, thank you. What an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you, Bob. I'll send you that picture right away.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
God bless.
All right, so that is Mark. He is also a board member with the Creation Research Society, and they are, as Mark said, the oldest, and I think the most prestigious, of the creation organizations. I have had a paper published in their journal. In fact, I have a couple more that I think have been approved now for publication. So we're looking forward to those coming out, and then a couple others that I'm in the process of submitting. So here at Real Science Radio, as Bob and Yurt Live, that's the show we do during the week, the Monday through Thursday show. Every Friday for years, Fred Williams and I, or if Fred is unavailable for an interview like this, then I'll fill in. And we do a science show to show people the glory of God and all the evidence, a world filled with evidence, in fact, a universe filled with evidence of the truth of God's word. And so we do that on Fridays, and we just love it. As with hundreds of thousands, millions of other Christians, it's our passion to show people the glory of God through His creation. And so we're doing that. And as we do that, you know, Bob and Yurt Live Monday through Thursday. On Thursdays, we do Theology Thursday. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we do a Christian talk show on current events. We talk about the battle to save unborn children from being dismembered by Planned Parenthood. We talk about the amazing personhood movement. The personhood movement, you guys might not all be aware of it, but, you know, the old guard pro-life movement, the pro-life industry, we call it, it slipped away from its original foundation. No longer a Bible-based movement. It's been taken over by attorneys, politicians, and fundraisers. And that's pretty much what it's become, whereas the personhood movement is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The personhood movement points to the God-given right to life of the unborn child, and indeed of every innocent person, that our rights come from God. 20 years ago, I was told by national right to life, as hundreds of people were told, activists, spokespeople, told, don't mention God. Don't mention God because we're going to win this based on the laws of science. Well, which of the laws of science use the terms right and wrong? Which of the laws of science? None of them. By the laws of science, you can't prove the Holocaust was wrong, the killing of Jewish men, women, and children, systematically. You can't prove it's wrong to have a slave trade and sell black women and children and men who were kidnapped. The Bible says if you kidnap someone, it's a crime. It's a capital crime, right? Which of the laws of science say that kidnapping is wrong, that gassing Jews is wrong, that lynching a black man is wrong? None of the laws of science. So we win in Christ. We have the victory in God. And the effort, not only in America, but in England also, to stop slavery, that was, if you think about William Wilberforce and William Lloyd Garrison and so many, Harriet Tubman, believers in Jesus Christ who spearheaded the movements to liberate blacks from slavery. And it was Christians. And today it's Christians who are teaching the world about the truth of what science is showing us, the hand of the Creator at work, and that the universe is young and it was designed. It didn't result from an explosion, a random explosion, that Earth is young, that life on Earth, the fossils, the sediments, the carbon 14, everywhere you look. So there is so much evidence that the Bible is true. Let every man be a liar, but God is true. God is truth. That's what Jesus Christ told us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't need to be ashamed. And it's so fun to see that the personhood movement in America, the new home of the pro-life movement, is not ashamed to stand on God's word. The Christian homeschool movement is so powerful. Not homeschooling, Christian homeschooling, which is the lion's share of the homeschool movement in America, which is teaching millions of kids that God made us and we did not evolve from slime and ape-like creatures. So there's so much going on that's so exciting. Here at Real Science Radio, we ask God to help us to do our part to get the word out on the internet at rsr.org. You could go to realscienceradio.com, but for people who can't type fast, you know, rsr.org, shortcut. If you enjoy this program, boy, do we need your help, because we don't have a large foundation behind us. We don't have a small foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church behind us. This is supported by you guys, and we do a lot with a small budget. We need your help. So we have the best of the best science materials at realscienceradio.com. Just click on the store up top. You'll see my name, Bob Enyart. Click on the store and go in the science department, and you will find the best of the DVDs, the best audio, and the best books on science. You'll just love it. There are hundreds of creationist resources. We've whittled it all down to probably 15 or so of the best of the best. And so that will help us stay on the air, and so will a donation. If you could donate or even make a monthly donation, just you could sign up right there on the store. Just click on donate, and a one-time or a monthly automatic, and that'll help us. So, hey, we're out of time. May God bless you. This is Bob Enyart with RealScienceRadio.com.
Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God.